Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today is National Signing Day, although technically it's a three-day period. Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it's turned out, as the statistics have gone over the course of the years, now the third year entering the early signing period for college football, I think 69, 70% of the prospects signed in year one. Upwards of 77% of the prospects signed last year. We expect that number to be in the 80s. Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7 joining us here on the program to talk a little Tennessee Cruton, and we'll get to basketball in a second. Wes, do you expect the majority of the Tennessee signing class? I know there was some flips and some guys that flipped on Tennessee, both good and bad, over the weekend. Do we expect most everybody to sign today?
I think so. You know, I think there's a couple guys who are probably holding out a little bit, and I think there's one of Tennessee's kind of biggest targets, Chattanooga defensive lineman Jay Hardy, who's currently committed to Auburn and kind of shocked everybody because everybody thought that he would kind of follow his brother, former Tennessee fullback Kevin Cooper, and sign with Tennessee, but he chose Auburn. But now he's not going to sign. He's for sure not going to sign until February, so Tennessee's going to get another month to recruit him. So they're definitely going to keep at least one spot open for him, and I would suspect they'll leave a few spots open.
Now, looking at the National Signing Day, this is the first period. Obviously, there's another one going on pretty soon here. Where do you think has Coach Pruitt done a good enough job at putting his team, considering what they did toward the end of the season past season? Do you think that has helped him in recruiting this recruiting period?
I think it has a little bit. You know, although what's interesting about Pruitt is, and this staff really, there are three former National Recruiters of the Year on this staff, including the one, the reigning National Recruiter of the Year. I think a lot of people are kind of wondering why this class is kind of ranked somewhere closer to 20 maybe than it is like the top 10. And I think they're not done yet. I think they still got work to do there. But I think they went and got a couple of big linemen in this class, guys who aren't highly rated guys. I think they actually feel pretty good about this class. Now, I know that they're going to go out there when they do their press conference today. I think I'll be on the road to Cincinnati at that point for basketball. But they're going to have their press conference at some point today, and they're going to say what everybody else says, right? Oh, this was the greatest class. You know, we got everything we wanted, blah, 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 blah. I think Tennessee actually will sort of mean that to some extent. I think that they got a lot of what they wanted in this class. Now, they didn't get everybody, but I think they feel pretty good about this group and think some of these guys have a chance to kind of prove how big, in their opinion, they should have been rated.
Well, and the big defensive lineman out of Memphis, Amari Thomas, good to get a guy at that position. Desperately needed bodies at that position. Wes Rucker joining us here. What is the upside as far as the ranking goes here? I mean, they're ranked 20th right now with 24/7 Sports. There certainly is some upward mobility, but that is 8th in the SEC, behind teams in the East like South Carolina. So what is the upside? How many names are on the board? And we saw Pruitt close really well last year with Eric Gray, and you know, Darnell Wright was sort of we sort of all saw that one coming. Henry Toto is a name that he got late in the process. Do we expect the same kind of fireworks? Is there still some upside left on the board?
Oh, sure. Tennessee, I think, still is very much in play with Darnell Washington, who is, I think, the top 10, the number 10 rated player in the class, according to the composite. This is a kid who is 6'7" and like 270 pounds and is a tight end. He's just absolutely enormous. I mean, you say these kinds of things all the time about different prospects, but this kid really looks like he's about 31 years old. You know, he just kind of he's a big, strong man out there, you know, basically looking like an offensive lineman, but he runs like a tight end. It's kind of crazy. And I think a lot of people are talking about Bama and Georgia there, but that kid's from Las Vegas, and he's taken 6 trips to Tennessee. 6. And only one of those, obviously, was one that Tennessee could pay for. So the other 5, he did on his own dime, 5 times. That's a lot. That's a lot of times to make that trip about, what, 2,800 miles, 2,500 miles, something like that. Tennessee's definitely in play there. And I think he's not announcing. I think he might be signing somewhere in the next couple of days, but I don't think he's going to announce anything until the Under Armour game, All-America game there in a few weeks. So I think he's the big one out there. But really, the thing is, when you look at Tennessee's class and where it's ranked, and you look at the classes above Tennessee, all those classes have at least three, four, or five more guys. So this class is going to go up in rankings almost certainly as it adds a couple guys. And I think it'll add a couple guys today at some point throughout the day. I think there's a couple that they're in the mix for, and I think there's a couple more that they could just kind of flip. So I think they're in the mix with a couple of guys. I'm not predicting they're going to get all of them, but I think they're going to get some of them. I think that's going to help them a little bit in the rankings.
Now, I'm not going to talk much about the renewed rivalry or hopes of a renewed rivalry with Memphis, but what I do want to ask you is about Turner and Bowden, them going 3 for 21. Did Penny Hardaway, the way he played defense, give you a template on how to sort of neutralize what UT does in the backcourt? Because they're going to win and they're going to lose based upon, you know, that backcourt that they have. It's a very good backcourt, but they didn't play that way against Memphis.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've gone back and watched part of that game just to make sure, because when I watched the game, you know, I think Memphis deserves some credit, but I also think Tennessee just missed some shots it usually makes. And, you know, for Tennessee, it's one thing to go have a bad game. It's another thing to shoot 25% from the field for a game. You know, this is a team that's been kind of in the top 30 for a lot of the year in terms of offensive efficiency. That was a terrible game. You know, against Florida State, Tennessee shot fine. It was just turnovers. Tennessee had never had a game like that at any point during the year when they just were absolutely that bad shooting the ball. So unless that happens a couple more times, I think it's safe to say that was kind of an odd thing. But, you know, I'll say this too. I've covered Tennessee-Memphis basketball games for a couple decades now, and they usually kind of look like hand-to-hand combat. They don't usually look like basketball. You know, they kind of devolve into, like, street fights when those guys go out there and play each other. They just kind of bang on each other, no blood, no foul. It just gets physical and intense. The crowds are loud. I think Tennessee just kind of put some pressure on themselves. I think the crowd was sighing and kind of getting a little bit nervous every time they missed a shot, and it just kind of spiraled the wrong way for them. They just kind of never figured it out. But I do think, to your point about what you're mentioning about sort of the plan there, Florida State is the longest team in college basketball in terms of wingspan, average wingspan. And they got a lot of athletes, and they throw a lot of bodies at you, and they put a lot of pressure on the ball. And so Memphis does some of those same things. I just don't think Memphis did maybe quite as good a job as Florida State did there. But they both had some success there, and I think that's what people are going to do at Tennessee. They're going to throw bodies at them. They're going to try to kind of wear them down, and they're going to hope that the guards don't shoot well. Because you're right, if the guards don't shoot well, they're going to have a hard time beating people. But if those guards do shoot well, though, they can beat anybody. So that's where the key to the game lies.
Wes Rucker joining us here, GoVols 24/7. And the question I have about the future of the rivalry, Wes, is did Penny do enough in the post game? Was he contrite enough? Did he apologize enough? You know, whatever you want to call it, to sort of bring Tennessee fans back to the table. So how did the fans react to his comments after the game? Sort of, you know, falling on the sword a little bit, saying, listen, I made a mistake. That wasn't me. That won't happen again. I talked to Rick Barnes about it. And then who do you think controls the future of this series? Is it in Rick Barnes in Tennessee's court right now?
Yes, it is. I think it's pretty clear that Memphis wants to keep playing, and I think it's pretty clear that Tennessee still has very little interest in doing so. I don't know that Tennessee's going to come out and say it, but I think that people at Tennessee thought Penny Hardaway crossed the line last season. And I don't know that they plan on renewing that series, at least for a while. And I think that's a shame, because I think both of these programs kind of owe it to the state to kind of give the state of Tennessee basketball that spectacle every year, because Tennessee puts so many teams in the tournament every year. Tennessee is so criminally underrated nationally, you know, as a basketball state with the number of programs, with the high majors, mid majors, low majors in the tournament. But right now, I do think the ball is in Tennessee's court, because they're going to play next season in Nashville. They're not going to change that. They've already got that contractually agreed to. But that stuff last year really kind of rubbed Tennessee the wrong way. And I think it was good for Hardaway to come out and say the things he said, because most of the thing he said last year, just there was no basis in fact for any of it. I mean, the accusations he made were just, according to everything I'd seen, completely false. So it was good to see him admit that, and I think that was a good first step. And if they keep having conversations, they might be able to get back to the table and discuss this. But as of now, and I'm on record saying I don't like that Tennessee's doing this, but as of right now, I still think Tennessee's planning on not extending that contract.
Yeah, do the right thing, Tennessee. That's a tentpole event that like you said, criminally underrated as a basketball state. We're having a moment right now as a state. It's an important game people can look forward to in December. It's just great all around, and it's unfortunate that you know, some silly comments that are baseless maybe are going to be the undoing of this, which, again, I thought Penny did enough to me as an alumni to say, you know what, he's apologized. Let's move forward and let's play this game because it's best for what everybody else wants in the state. So, Wes Rucker.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think that Rick Barnes was not blameless in that thing last year. He kind of egged it on a little bit with his comments on his coach's show. Don't get me wrong. It was mostly Penny. But Rick did some of that, too. But it's just, you know, I said it last week in a column. I don't care who pushed you on the playground. I don't care who started the fight. Just get over it and be adult about this.
Yep, absolutely. Wes Rucker, enjoy today, man. Safe travels. And you got Cruton. You got basketball. Enjoy it all, my man.
Yeah, no problem. Got a lot of stuff going on today, fellas.
There you go. Wes Rucker, a lot of positives there left for Tennessee on the recruiting board. And then, of course, it's clearly Tennessee's decision on whether or not to renew this Memphis-Tennessee basketball rivalry. We'll discuss all of that when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
Let me tell you, man, I know you're out there listening because you're in your cars or you're sitting at your computer and you're listening to us, 102.5 The Game, The Morning Drive. And I've been telling you this for over a year now by my friends over at Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, his wife Daphne, along with that beautiful, wonderful, and experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of the Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, which I'm in, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy level, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And men, we need it bad. And what better way to achieve that lifestyle, man, than going to see the good folks at Cool Springs MD. So what are you waiting on? It's easy. Do it today, not tomorrow. Don't wait until Christmas. Make it an early Christmas present for yourself. Or wives, make it an early Christmas present for your husband. And make an appointment for them, because here's the number. An appointment, it takes nothing. All it takes for you is to pick up that telephone, dial these digits, I'm about to give them to you, or visit the website, and I'm going to give you that too. Here's the number, 615-486-3458, 615-486-3458, or visit the website, coolspringsmd.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.